Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. We are just past the longest day of the year here in June. And we are ready to talk some football, some baseball, of course, all things Longhorns. Football season never ends here on the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown and joined as always by my Horns 24/7 colleague, the managing editor of Horns 24/7, the one and only Taylor Estes. Taylor, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Chip. How about you?
I'm doing good. We're recording on Tuesday right after the Longhorns took care of business and stayed alive in the College World Series with an 8-4 win over Tennessee. And so that's exciting. We'll get into that today on the Flagship Podcast, but we also have some news as it regards the Texas Longhorns football program. It's not good news. It's two receivers on their way out. Taylor, let's start with Jake Smith, the very talented, highly touted recruit, wide receiver out of Notre Dame Prep in Scottsdale, who has 48 catches in 2 years and 568 yards, 9 touchdowns. Surprisingly, Taylor, I looked this up. Those numbers are very similar to Jordan Shipley's first 2 years at Texas. Jordan Shipley had 43 catches for 646 yards and 9 touchdowns. And as of right now, Jake Smith in the transfer portal and possibly looking, he's definitely looking. And I get the feeling this is a likely transfer because in talking to people close to Jake Smith, his parents have never been on board with him going to Texas. I think that has weighed on him. I don't know what their deal is. The kid's been hurt. Like I said, he's got numbers. He's got more catches than Jordan Shipley through his first 2 years at Texas. You hope he finds happiness. You know, you're from California. The word on the West Coasters is it's tough to leave. You tend to not want to, go very far. And sometimes you fall back into, I need to get back to the West Coast. But we'll see. Right now, Jake Smith, at a position that's already pretty thin on experience. And, this is a setback. And now the Longhorns are going to need others to step up if this is indeed his way out.
Yeah, Chip, one thing to like Texas, I just looked at the roster. They've already removed Jake Smith from the current active roster for the 2021 football season. The thing with Jake Smith is going back into his freshman year, there were a lot of things that we heard behind the scenes of him not being very happy. And, there was a lot of people, honestly, in that 2019 signing class that felt that way because the former coaching staff with Tom Herman, they were so tough in a more, military type of fashion with the team that, we had heard things that some of the 2019 signees were talking about. If I wanted to go through boot camp, I would have went to the military, not coming to play Texas football. And, I think that Jake Smith kind of fell into that category. You're right. As somebody who's from California, I know he's from Arizona, but the West Coast, I know more people from the West Coast than I don't that have moved out of state and then gone back. And a lot of, I mean, even in like my high school graduating class out of Mission Viejo High School, there was a number of athletes that went out of state, including D1 players, and then came back within a year because they couldn't handle it and they transferred back to schools in California. It is a little surprising. I think that the one thing I would say, Chip, is, you know, Jake Smith really hasn't had too much of an opportunity to prove himself under Steve Sarkisian and this new coaching staff. I mean, he didn't even make it through the first practice of spring football before he was sidelined with an injury. So that's all of the face time and, you know, basically reps that he's gotten in front of this new coaching staff. Obviously, Andre Coleman's still the returning position coach at wide receiver, but still, you know, I think that I wonder how much of this falls in line with he's constantly been injured. You know, he's kind of had an up and down journey since he got to Texas. And now there may be concern that he may be further buried down the depth chart after not going through spring. Maybe he's just kind of like, I need a fresh start. I don't know. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I just don't know why you walk away from a guy like Steve Sarkisian before you give it a chance, because he's seen as one of the top play callers in all of football, having done it at the NFL level and the college level. And no one did it better last year than Steve Sarkisian at Alabama. I mean, the fact that I know Devontae Smith's first half stats from the national championship game, 12 catches, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, right off the top of my head, says Steve Sarkisian knows how to get his playmakers the ball. So, I mean, it just feels incomplete. It doesn't feel like Jake Smith ever, like you said, got a chance to really dig in. I mean, he started 6 of the 7 games he played in last year, but it was, you know, a hamstring. It was always something nagging with Jake Smith. And then, as you said, the foot injury to start spring football, he doesn't even get a chance to really acclimate himself to the offense. Again, you just hope the kid is happy. We'll get into, you know, his impact or who steps up and all of that. But you hope the kid is happy, that he makes a choice ultimately that is going to, you know, benefit him in his college education and whatever else he's trying to seek. Because my goodness, there's opportunity at Texas.
Right.
And the guy he's opposite or probably most compared to or most like is Jordan Whittington, who's also had injuries. So it's, there's plenty of opportunity here. And that's, it's one thing if you got recruited over and guys are blowing by you, like Marvin Mims at OU comes in as a freshman, leads the team in receiving. If that had happened last year, that would be one thing. But Josh Moore was the leading receiver. He's a veteran guy. Jake Smith has the COVID red shirt. He's got essentially 3 years of eligibility, and he just can't seem to find his groove at Texas. So you want him to be successful, but it feels incomplete. Feels like it didn't quite get off the ground. And yet I'm sitting here telling you that he had 5 more receptions through 2 years than Jordan Shipley had. Not the same number of yards, but the exact same number of touchdowns, 9 through 2 seasons. And then Jordan Shipley goes on to become the all-time leading receiver at Texas the following 2 years. So it just feels incomplete to me. So this is a situation where in Steve Sarkisian, Texas trusts he'll find playmakers to give the ball to. And it doesn't look like Jake Smith is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, no, you're right, Chip. I wonder how much the addition of Xavier Worthy kind of also adds to it, because Steve Sarkisian, the one thing he has said is he's not just going to play guys that are the prototypical, you know, receiver positions. If he has 3 slot receiver or typical slot receivers who are the best receivers on the roster, all three are going to be on the field. They're not going to, you know, have people sit behind others just because they're not in a different role at receiver. So I do kind of, it is intriguing to me without him having spring football, with them bringing in Xavier Worthy, you know, what the role is going to be for Keelan Robinson. You know, that is a guy who could very much take, you know, some receptions away or possible catches away from Jake Smith after he's already kind of climbing his way back through the depth chart. I mean, it's all speculation right now. And listen, until he actually signs at another place, he still could come back to Texas. And as Steve Sarkisian has shown, he has allowed players to do that. Dele Adeoye was the one, you know, he didn't go through spring football, enter the transfer portal. Now he's back on the roster. So this, you know, as you mentioned, this is something that may seem incomplete. It's going to kind of probably feel that way until, you know, a decision is made one way or the other, whether he officially transfers to another school or, you know, maybe rides the transfer portal for a while. We'll see.
Yeah. And then word comes down this week that Keithron Lee, the wide receiver out of Bryan, Texas, incoming freshman, it gets arrested on assault of a family member charges. And Steve Sarkisian has come out and said he's suspended indefinitely while they let this legal process play out. But I'm hearing this is not going to end well for Keithron Lee at Texas, that this is probably the beginning of the end of that relationship. So this is unfortunate. Not that Keithron Lee was a guy who everyone was expecting to make an immediate impact. If anything, I think there was a little bit of disappointment in the receiver class of, you know, 2021, outside of Xavier Worthy. You know, you've got Jaden Alexis, who went through the spring and we didn't hear much about in terms of impact. Casey Kane is just now here in June. And then you've got Keithron Lee, and that, you know, he's got some speed. He's got some down the field ability, but he also apparently had character issues that he needs to get ironed out, because we were hearing that he had been pretty combative just since he got on campus with his own teammates and even some coaches. So that's unfortunate. That was a take under Tom Herman, and everyone's going to look back and say, wow, was this evaluation done completely before, you know, giving that scholarship to Keithron Lee? And again, you hope that the charges, you know, are somehow inaccurate or something, but it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like Texas is ready to move on from Keithron Lee. So another wide receiver, it appears, is going to be heading out the door.
Well, and that is kind of, you know, a little bit of a trend, sadly, you know, for Texas. I mean, I know that Malcolm Epps was lining up at tight end more so, but, you know, Texas lost him. Kennedy Lewis, he's no longer with the team anymore. Jake Smith, now Keithron Lee. You know, this is not the ideal situation. And you're right. I mean, Texas really did not sign very many in the 2021 class. You know, this is going to be that. I mean, like you said, Keithron Lee was probably not going to start for Texas or get meaningful snaps, especially this year. But I mean, I guess if he was more of an issue in the locker room, Chip, I feel like it's almost, if that's the case, you know, and all of this is accurate, it's almost probably a blessing in disguise that Texas does not have him on the roster and opens up another scholarship spot for Steve Sarkisian and his staff to try to fill, whether it's at wide receiver or elsewhere that they feel is a need right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it could be a blessing in disguise for everybody. You hope that Keithron Lee can get his situation together. And if he's not ready to be a college student athlete or hasn't shown the maturity to handle it, then Texas dodges a bad situation potentially here. And so, you know, this is, again, it's just odd. You mentioned Epps leaving, and you know, receivers in a Steve Sarkisian offense, they should be flocking for the opportunity to be in it. But you can't, you know, you can't get inside a person's head. We're not in there. We don't know what's going on. There's obviously things going on in people's personal lives. And so Steve Sarkisian's going to have to make some decisions and figure out if he has enough or if he goes into the portal looking for a receiver at this point. And I have reported in the Insider that there have been some good early reviews on Xavier Worthy, that he is as fast as advertised, that he is working hard. He senses opportunity. And so we'll see how quickly he can catch on to the Steve Sarkisian offense. Cause it's, there's a lot to this offense. I mean, just volume. Sarkisian likes to have everyone learn a ton of plays so that he's got options at all times. He's not one of these guys that's like, we're going to do a few things and we're going to do them really well. No, he's like, we want to do a ton of things and do them all really well and make the defense have to account for all of it and practice all of it, which puts a strain on them, and away we go. So look, Jordan Whittington, here's your moment. This, I mean, to me, he's the guy. He's the lead dog in this receiver group. You've got Joshua Moore, and then we'll see who else emerges. But to me, Jordan Whittington, this is your breakout season at receiver. And he was the guy, in my opinion, ahead of Jake Smith. And maybe that's part of the problem here too for Jake Smith. So Taylor, we will move on to baseball because, as we mentioned when we came in, Texas is still alive in the College World Series thanks to an 8-4 victory over Tennessee. And after a humiliating 21 strikeouts against Mississippi State, which is a College World Series record, 21 strikeouts in one game. That's not the kind of history you want to be making, but they bounce back. David Pierce said, we challenged them. We told them that was unacceptable. It's embarrassing, humiliating. Can you imagine the Augie rant that would have happened? I mean, go to Google and just look up Augie's rants on YouTube because they are epic. I listened to one this morning, which is just the best. But David Pierce,
I was going to say the same thing. I feel like David Pierce may have needed to play that video for the locker room after that loss too, to give them extra.
If we were in a fight or a gang fight, which you bleeps know nothing about, we would be dead. I mean, it's classic Augie, or in a boxing match, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'd be in the hospital and you'd have wires, you know, in your jaw and your eyes would be swollen shut and your gut would be messed up from 55 punch. Anyway, but David Pierce lights into him, tells him it's unacceptable, shorten up your swing. They did. And they were able to connect for 8 runs. Eric Kennedy does it again. I mean, he had the RBI double walk off in the super regional. And then today the 3-run home run that erases a 2-0 deficit as Tristan Stevens struggled after an 8-pitch first inning. He lost control. Tennessee puts a couple runs on the board. Eric Kennedy steps up, 2-out hitting, and just delivers big time with that 3-run home run. Then scores the final run of the game when he singles and steals second and takes third on a error, and then comes home on a wild pitch. He got no help after getting on base. He did it all with the help of the Tennessee pitching staff, but good stuff. And then Silas Ardoin, the catcher, with the play of the game, the incredible double play, bases loaded, no outs. Tristan Stevens in the third inning is in a massive jam, and Cam Williams fields a ground ball at third, comes home, skips the ball. David Pierce said after the game, he goosed it, and it forced Ardoin to have to make this incredible backhanded grab and then dust the runner. Well, make contact with the plate and then fire it to first base for the double play. Then they get a fly out to get out of the inning. No damage, despite bases loaded, no outs in the third inning. So Silas Ardoin, and he also had some timely hitting that helped bring in a couple of runs. So, and Tanner Witt, obviously the freshman reliever, he's the story out of the bullpen because he goes 5 2/3 innings, Taylor, he gave up a hit. The run was attributed to Tristan Stevens because he inherited men on second and third from Tristan Stevens, but he goes 5 2/3 scoreless relief. He'd been up and down. He gave up runs late in the Big 12 tournament. He gave up runs late in the Super Regional when South Florida was able to erase a 3-0 deficit and tie it 3-3 in the ninth inning. And then, of course, Eric Kennedy came through with the clutch hitting to win that game 4-3. But look, Tennessee was, to me, the scariest team in this bracket because they're not only the number 3 overall seed, Texas is the number 2 overall seed, but Tennessee has a veteran team and leads everyone in the College World Series in home runs, top 5 this year in home runs. They got 5 different guys in double digit home runs. I mean, they're an offensive minded team. And for Tanner Witt, the freshman, to go out there and throw 5 2/3 of scoreless relief, man, that's gotta be a huge confidence boost for Tanner Witt, the son of former major leaguer Kevin Witt, but also for that team, because you're only as strong as your bullpen. And David Pierce said, listen, if you're getting tired, I'll go get Nixon out of the bullpen. And Tanner Witt was like, oh, hell no, I'm finishing this thing. And he did, Taylor.
Yeah, it was an impressive game, Chip. And it was exactly what Texas needed to do. You know, I mean, the offense really was not great against Mississippi State. Now that also led to because of the pitching, how good the pitching was, Mississippi State Texas game on Sunday. But, you know, one part of the game, I will say that I was kind of like, this is going to be a defining moment, whether it's going to be a momentum shift one way or the other, was in the fourth inning when Texas was at bat. You know, Douglas Hodo, he walks him, and an assistant coach, a volunteer assistant coach at Tennessee, kind of like hit his fist down and threw his binder on the field, and he got tossed because Tennessee had already been warned for arguing with the umpires. So that was a moment. And even the broadcast team was talking about this, where they were saying like, this could be a momentum boost for Tennessee, because a lot of times when coaches get tossed from the game, that team will really kind of ride the wave of the adrenaline from that moment to make up for it. But Texas really countered there. And that was huge. I mean, that was one of the biggest momentum shifts in the game. It was tied 4-4 at the time. Texas has 2 on. Silas Ardoin goes up to bat, and then Douglas Hodo, you know, makes a play, gets an extra base, scores from first. It was a little bit of a questionable call, maybe, if it was called one way or the other. I don't know if they could flip it either way. He was called safe at home, but that really was a huge, huge momentum shift for Texas in this game.
Yeah, it was. And that's the kind of stuff that we've seen from Texas all year. When they would get into a jam, they figured a way out. And we saw it, you know, throughout the year, when, like, against TCU, when they had to win that Friday game, and, you know, guys stepped up, and against Texas Tech, and on and on. And so, you know, you had to think that, okay, there was some paralysis by analysis going on in the Mississippi State game, and it can't be that bad. And it isn't. And now they're going to face the loser of Mississippi State and Virginia. And Taylor, the deeper this thing goes, the more it favors Texas, because the pitching gets used up. Your best pitchers are going to pitch games 1 and 2 of your appearance in the World Series. And then it's who has the number 3 starter, who still has bullpen if that starter gets in trouble. And look at Texas. Pete Hansen is sitting there ready to go. And Cole Quintanilla, who's got the lowest ERA on the team, has not even come out of the bullpen yet here in Omaha. So and he's been lights out all year. He throws heavy, 98 mile an hour fastball we saw in the Super Regional. So that is fantastic news for Texas. And now we'll see. And if they get Mississippi State or Virginia, who got an incredible performance from their left-handed starter, Andy Abbott, in beating Tennessee in game one, I think Texas gets the check mark in terms of the pitching. Already the Longhorns have the number one ERA in college baseball, but this is the depth of their pitching that really should pay off here as we get deeper in the tournament.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it prior to the Mississippi State game, Chip, about how, you know, what was David Pierce going to do for the first game? If he was going to go with Ty Madden, or if he was going to go with a, you know, freshman and Pete Hansen, since he was a lefty against that Mississippi State lineup. You know, the one thing that you had said was you don't want to really, or we both said, we don't really want to hold Pete Hansen to the third day. However, if you get to that third day, you're probably in a better situation if you hold him at that point and you can put him in relief for Ty Madden. That's exactly what Texas ended up doing. And this, you're right, this is such, if Texas can continue down the, you know, in the College World Series, the odds are probably on their side because of the defense that they have and the pitching staff that they have. As you mentioned, I mean, it's the lowest ERA right now in college baseball. I mean, that's not an accident, you know, and this is not a team that is in a tiny little conference that played nobody. I mean, this is a team that's faced some really solid offenses in college baseball this season, still having the you know, lowest ERA as a pitching staff. That's going to win games for Texas, and it's going to be interesting. But the one thing I am kind of intrigued to see is now Mississippi State has beaten Texas twice this season. And obviously the first time it was not a weekend series, it was just one game. So part of me kind of wonders if it ends up being Mississippi State, Texas, is Texas really going to allow Mississippi State to sweep them? I mean,
right. Right.
What the mentality is of this locker room for sure.
Right. And I'll take Pete Hansen over the number three starter at Mississippi State or Virginia. And then you hope he's as on as he's been in these playoffs in this postseason, because he's been able to locate that slider on both sides of the plate against lefties and righties. And he's just been, I mean, he like we said last week, he could tell the batter what he's about to throw and still get him, because he just had that much confidence and command in his ability to mix pitches, you know, the slider, the fastball, the changeup. And so we'll see Thursday, 7 o'clock, Texas baseball back on the field at TD Ameritrade. And of course we'll have all of that coverage for you on next week's flagship podcast. But Taylor, are you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
You know, yes, Chip, I am. I'm first going to give a shout out to some of our listeners before we get to Love It or Leave It. Yeah. We went through some of the iTunes
Love
reviews. Yes, absolutely. The reviews over on our iTunes page. If you have not subscribed to the iTunes page, definitely go ahead and do that. And please give us a 5-star rating and review. Our bosses would love that. But I'm going to give a shout out to some of our listeners here before we get to Love It or Leave It. And the first one I'm going to give a shout out to is L. Chewy. And he goes, impressed with the interviews and the insight from all the staff. I always look forward to the podcast. Keep up the good work. So
awesome.
Thank you,
awesome.
L. Chewy.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you, L. Chewy.
Another one here is from Manny Fresh 130. He says the flagship podcast is great. Chip and Taylor provide incredible insight and perspective on all things burnt orange. So thanks, Manny. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Manny. Thank you. Thank you.
Chip, you
tell
got
your
little,
friends and enemies.
You got a little called out on this one here. So I'm going to give it to you a little
shocker.
Bit here. So from LTS Junior, he goes, love the podcast, but I have to call Chip out on one of the latest podcasts. Kevin Hart didn't play Tiny Dog. He played a rabbit who called his BFF Tiny Dog in The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, so, man, I messed that up.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's right. He was a bunny rabbit. Man, that's terrible.
Thanks for the comment, LTS Junior. But we appreciate all of our listeners, and we will be right back for our listeners. After a very short break, we will come back with some Love It or Leave It. We're going to get into some more football talk since football never ends here on the Flagship Podcast. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chip, you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
I'm ready. Fire. Fire away. Fire one ready.
All right, my first one for you is Love It or Leave It. If receiver Jake Smith ends up transferring, this is a significant blow to the Texas offense.
I'm gonna leave this because I don't know. I mean, I mentioned that he's got numbers very similar to the first two seasons of Jordan Shipley at Texas, but I just don't know if he's on that same trajectory or not. And I'm not trying to put Jake Smith down because, you know, he did have some drops. He had some critical drops that I can vividly remember against TCU in his first two seasons. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember those kind of drops from Jordan Shipley. Now, I'm not trying to, again, not trying to dismiss Jake Smith here because he's talented. He's talented. You're not the Gatorade National Offensive Player of the Year in 2018 with all the numbers that he put up without being a talented player. But I'm going to leave this because I don't know if it's a significant blow to the offense. I mean, if Jordan Whittington and Josh Moore and, you know, Troy O'Meary are the best three receivers, then I don't know that it's a huge blow to the offense. Now, depth wise, yes, it's a blow. It's definitely a blow because he's got 40, you know, he's got 43 catches, 48 catches. Shipley had 43 catches through 2 years. You know, he had 48 catches. That's experience. That's valuable experience at a high level of college football. So from a depth standpoint, it's a blow, but to the offense in general, overall, I'm going to leave that because I just don't know. Taylor, how about you?
I have to agree with you on all accounts. I really, you know, from a depth perspective, yes, it definitely is a blow because there already is a questionable amount of depth at wide receiver right now. But at the same time, Jake Smith has really not been a reliable go-to option at receiver because of his injuries. And that's unfortunate. You know, I feel bad even saying that because I'm not trying to knock the kid in any way. This is just the fact of the matter. You know, he's just not.
And I mentioned the drops. He did have a huge touchdown catch against Oklahoma State in their comeback win in overtime in Stillwater last year. I mean, he made some plays. I don't want to make it out like he didn't come through at crunch time every time. He did. He did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I mean, he just has never been that reliable type of go-to guy. He's also, you know, I mean, I think he has the talent to be that guy, but without showing it, it's really hard for me to even compare him and Jordan Shipley in the same sentence, even if their numbers are similar from their first two seasons, because Jordan Shipley was the, you know, the program's all-time leading receiver. And I just, there's nothing I've seen from Jake Smith that would make me think that is where he is headed because of his inability to really be a consistent go-to option for the group. So for all of that, I think you have to leave it because if anything, you know, Texas, there's plenty of players in the transfer portal. There is no shortage of options available. And if they are opening up a scholarship, and even if it's at a position that they didn't necessarily want to lose depth at, there are so many players currently in the transfer portal. So I think that you know, Steve Sarkisian and his staff have done really well in the transfer portal in a short period of time since they've been here. So I think you just have to kind of count your losses, but realize that they have the possibility to potentially add somebody who could be more of a consistent option for the wide receiver group, both from a playmaking standpoint and from a depth perspective too.
Yeah. And this is an indictment of UT's recruiting at receiver, honestly, because you mentioned Kennedy Lewis and, you know, transferring out of the program, but he had no impact. We're still waiting to see what kind of impact Marcus Washington can have. Alvante Woodard hasn't really made any kind of statement, has had some opportunities. Maybe, you know, guys progress at different times. The light bulb goes on at different times, but at other schools like Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, they've got so many receivers, so many talented receivers, that if a guy like Jake Smith moved on, it would be like next man up. At Texas, it's like, okay, who else has got game experience? I mean, it's kind of astounding. And I get that Brennan Eagles left early, but
he wasn't much of an impact maker either. The guys they've lost, whether to the portal or to, you know, early entry into the NFL draft, they really haven't been guys that were huge difference makers. The only one would be Lil Jordan Humphrey, but he had one season like that. And then
and Devin Duvernay, who was sitting on the bench the year before, he catches 100 balls and becomes a third round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. So it's just weird because the one position or two positions to me that Texas produces a cornucopia of talent is quarterback and receiver, because this is the 7-on-7 capital of the world. You know, kids are playing 7-on-7 in Texas in middle school, and coaches get a chance to evaluate these guys and that truly identify the talent. And that Texas has not just had receivers lined up one after the other who could make a huge impact, to me is stunning. But all right, we'll move on. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. Taylor?
Yeah.
where are we going? Where are we going with Love It or Leave It number two?
All right. So this is going to be another Jake Smith topic for you, Chip. If Jake Smith ends up leaving, the receiver who benefits most in terms of playing time is Xavier Worthy. Love it or leave it.
Yeah, I think Texas fans should hope that yes, the answer is yes. I'm going to love this. Okay. I have nothing to base this on other than the comments I'm hearing from guys running around in shorts, which means nothing until we see what they can do when they got a 200-pound safety coming down on them and trying to knock their head off. Can you catch over the middle? Are you catch and run? What are you? But I'm going to go with this for right now. And I wouldn't care if it opens the door for Marcus Washington or Kelvonte Dixon, but I do think it helps Xavier Worthy move up in line at practice. That means more reps. So I'm going to love this for right now. Maybe it's because I kind of hope that I hope Xavier Worthy just gives me a Reggie Hemphill Maps first year at Texas. maybe I'm just stuck on that and trying to will it into manifest it into happening, Taylor, but I'm gonna love this. What the hell? How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to also agree with you. I'm going to love this. And, you know, Texas needs speed at the position. That has been an issue that has plagued them for the last several years, honestly. I mean, go back to 2018 when DeSean Jameson had to play wide receiver because Texas did not have any speed or, you know, really dynamic type of athleticism at that position. So his development has been stunted because of the lack of wide receiver talent that Texas has. So I think that, you know, Texas has to get that type of speed, especially in the Big 12, in my opinion, to keep up with Big 12 offenses. Xavier Worthy offers that speed. Steve Sarkisian has shown what he can do with guys with elite speed at wide receiver. So I definitely have to agree with you. I think that this definitely benefits Xavier Worthy most up to this point right now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How about right. Love it or leave it? Numero tres.
So this is my final one. We're going to shift back to baseball here. If you've been to the College World Series 37 times, which is the most in College World Series history, it's forgivable that UT now holds the record for most strikeouts in a game, 21, suffered against Mississippi State in game one. Love it or leave it.
I mean, look, it's great that you have that 37 appearances. That's always what people are going to talk about first and foremost, but you don't want to have the most strikeouts in a game, 21. Come on, you're better than that. You're one of the top 8 teams in college baseball. I don't care if Roger Clemens is out there on the mound throwing, you know, 4 seamers all day long. You can't strike out 21 times. I'm going to leave this, Taylor. But hey, kudos to David Pierce and the Longhorns for shortening those swings and figuring it out against Tennessee, because Tennessee was the number 3 overall seed, higher than Mississippi State. And Texas took care of business against Tennessee. But I'm leaving that. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, the most appearances is obviously a huge thing for a program to tout, but that doesn't really, you still never want to be on this side of history when it comes to records, especially at the highest level of the sport.
Think how long the College World Series has been around, and now you hold the record for most strikeouts in a game.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be on that side of history. And so I would say that I'm going to leave it that it's forgivable just because of their 37 appearances. However, if the question is it forgivable if Texas goes on to win the College World Series this year? Sure, that's forgivable. Then you could say, scoreboard, we had one bad game and we bounced back. So that would be forgivable program history now.
They had 18 strikeouts in a win over OU at the Big 12 tournament. So this team has the ability to sort of etch a sketch their domes and forget all this strikeout misery and somehow come through. So I like that. That's a good take on it, Taylor. Look, if they bounce back and win this thing, no one's going to be talking about that. Or they will. They'll just say, and they overcame that. They figured it out.
Exactly. They'll be on the right side of history, whether they're talking about that, you know, the 21 strikeouts or winning, they'll still be fine. So
in a game of failure, they figured out how to overcome the failure. I did think it was funny that, man, the umpires in the first two Texas games, the pitchers really couldn't, they had no idea where the outside of the zone was. I mean, it just seemed to keep moving in both games for Texas, to the point where Troy Tulowitzki, the hitting coach for Texas, got warned for arguing balls and strikes in the Tennessee game. So
it wasn't just like against Texas either. Like they were consistently moving the strike zone throughout, you know, both of those two games too.
That's so, right. Yeah. Yeah. So you've had to really, you know, the pitchers have had to really stay connected, because I thought Stevens really struggled. I thought he threw a couple of perfect pitches on the outside, corner of the zone and didn't get the call. And then he started to press because he didn't know where that was, you know, when are you going to give me the strike? I'm painting the black here and you're calling it a ball. And I think it messed him up a little bit, but you know, that's just me. All right, Taylor, we will have much more. And don't forget to check out the flagship podcast interview with Ty Harrington. We've been checking in with Ty, the Texas X, the former Texas State baseball coach. And he told you how Texas was going to bounce back after the loss to Mississippi State. So check that out before Thursday's game. That's great pregame for you baseball seam heads out there. And always check out the flagship podcast interview and just keep listening to us over and over again. I mean, you can listen to this podcast. It's great for just background noise and working at home or falling asleep at night, you know. All right. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Thanks everybody for listening to the flagship podcast. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.